We wrapped up a busy week for you on Friday, December 6th. We heard from two members of the Connecticut General Assembly. We got the weekly check-in from Stratford GOP State Senator Kevin Kelly, and State Senate Minority Leader Republican Len Fasano joined us also. He appeared in the 5 o'clock hour. Both men talked about some burgeoning issues here in the state. Are we going to have that special session coming up in a few days? What's up with the latest UConn increases? Can the average Connecticut student now afford UConn? And a court decision in Rhode Island. Will that affect the trucks-only toll plan being floated by Governor Ned Lamont? Coming up on, let's see, 3:32, it's 28 before 4, as we roll along here on Connecticut Today for a Friday, the 6th of December. Man, oh man, that's true. The older you get, time just flies by, right? Jeez, remember being a kid? It was forever between Christmas. It's like, well, it's Christmas again? Yeesh. All right, he's with us a little earlier than normal this week. You know, he's got things to do. He's busy there. Republican State Senator Kevin Kelly for his weekly check-in from the beautiful metropolis of Stratford. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good. Yourself, Paul?
I'm good, Kevin. I'm good. How's the holiday? Now, Kevin, are you like me? Are you kind of a last-minute shopping guy? I don't want you to, you know, I know you're the family may be listening here, but do you plan this out? Are you a last-minute typical guy?
Not a last-minute typical guy. I do try to, I'm not going to say I plan it out either, but I try to pick things up as I go along the way.
There it is.
So
there is some sort of method to how you do it, is what you're telling me.
You could call it a method.
Beautiful. Okay, to the serious stuff now, Kevin, while we have you. A few things I want to get a look at here from your point of view. Okay, number one, now, we had kind of a procedural ruling regarding the legal goings-on in Rhode Island and their trucks-only toll scenario there. Apparently, this lawsuit that was filed by some trucking industry folks by the convenience store Cumberland Farms. Apparently, a court said today, well, this can move forward. What are your thoughts on that as to how it may affect what you folks do on the truck tolling issue?
Well, while it's procedural, it is important. And it's important because a federal court has recognized that truckers have a constitutional claim to bring the lawsuit that would stop the state of Rhode Island. And that's important because Connecticut continues on this road, no pun intended, for tolls. They are unwavering in their approach to this. And Paul, I think this is a significant issue because it demonstrates quite clearly the difference. And many times as I'm walking around my district, people say, well, what's the difference between Republicans and Democrats? This is a good example of what is the difference in Connecticut between a Republican and a Democrat. And that is, here you have the Democrats. They want to put improvements in transportation, and both parties want to do this. Their solution to this issue is tolls. And they pursue this with an unbelievable vigor, even unswayed by a federal court that's saying this is a problem and truckers have a right under the Constitution to bring the claim that it's unfair to pick out-of-staters and tax them more than in-staters. It's a violation of our Constitution. And what it shows is that the Democrats' solution for every problem is our pocketbook. On the other hand, the Republican plan makes the same investment into our transportation to make sure we have safe roads, bridges, and rail. But we look at creative solutions. And I know I brought up last week, you know, if you listen to WICC and listen to Dave Ramsey or Clark Howard, they tell you the big thing you want to do is get out of debt. And our plan utilizes the savings we have in our rainy day fund that are there because of the Republican structural reforms we put in the Senate when we had a tie in 2017 that created the biggest amount of money in the rainy day fund. It's almost $2.8 billion, mm-hmm. is to take a withdrawal, spend down the credit card, and the savings that we have goes into our roads and bridges. That's important for two reasons. One is it starts to treat government like families treat their own budgets. You wouldn't take money and leave it in a bank account at 2% when you got a credit card with 15 or 20%. You'd get rid of that debt like you hear on your radio program in the afternoons. And two, it shows that the Republicans are looking at creative ways to solve the problem, where if we leave these debts on the books, it crowds out things like transportation or education or health services. And this is why it costs so much in Connecticut, is that the Democrats in control continue to pay debt service rather than putting people's, the core functions of government first.
All right, Kevin, hang on. I want to ask you when we come back after a brief break about the announcement yesterday, another pretty sizable tuition increase from UConn, and about what oversight goes on regarding UConn. Ask you about that when we come back. State Senator Kevin Kelly, Republican Stratford, with his weekly check-in with us a little earlier than normal. By the way, folks, I just want to go out of my way to say that I have been in contact with a couple of Democratic folks that I also know up at the State House and State Senate, and I've asked them numerous times if they would like to provide Democrats to give their side of the toll argument or any others. I have free and open phone lines, as you know, 4 hours a day here. So both sides are more than welcome to come on and give it their best shot here. Checking in a little earlier this week than we usually do because of his busy schedule, State Senator, Republican from Stratford, Kevin Kelly, with us for a few more minutes right here at WICC 600 for our weekly check-in. Kevin, you probably saw it. I know the caucus put out an official statement on it. UConn yesterday, as they are wanting to do, as every college does, announcing tuition and fee increases that coming, Kevin, at just under 24% spread out over 5 years, 4% and change a year. I think, Kevin, you and I obviously would admit that these schools do have their costs, but you know, I'm wondering here, and I know Leader Fasano will join us later, wondering here about the oversight, about the expenditures of UConn, and whether or not, Kevin, you know, the flagship university of us here in Connecticut, if it's just becoming too out of reach for the regular taxpayer or the kids or grandkids of those taxpayers.
And Paul, that's the problem, is, you know, education is key to prosperity. It's a very important core function of government. And it's from all the way from, I'm going to say, K through 12, as well as whether it's an education in college or even in a trade school environment. We should always education. Becomes is that once again, like we were talking about tolls, is that the current administration looks at the individuals who participate in government, whether it's taxpayers or in this case students, as an ATM machine, and that if for some reason it's a bottomless pit that you can always just, well, hike the fee and we can be, wasteful with our spending. I mean, and I'll give you an example. UConn was in the AAC, the All-American Athletic Conference, and that was a bust. They left the Big East for football. It didn't turn out too well. Now they're left holding the bag. They're looking for a place to land. They decide to go back to the Big East. That frolic cost almost $20 million. $20 million to go back to the Big East. Is really the $20 million that important to spend? I mean, it was, the governor went out to put on a tie for a change. Drove up to the store, sat next to Jonathan Husky outside Gamble Pavilion, and proclaimed this was a great day. But when you're spending $20 million on a Saturday afternoon recreational sporting activity and then turning around and asking students to pay 24% increase over the next 5 years, I think UConn has its priorities in the wrong place.
Kevin, what kind of oversight? Because I hear different things, and I talk to you folks on both sides of the aisle. What kind of oversight does UConn get from the folks in the General Assembly on either side of the aisle? Because it is a state university. Is there, in your mind, Kevin, is there enough transparency there?
Well, clearly not enough. I mean, and I know there's a whole host of issues with, you know, the UConn Foundation, but this is a publicly funded university, and there should be more transparency back to the elected representatives of the people in Connecticut, because ultimately that's our flagship university, and it's our constituents who are affected by the decisions made, and we have to report back to them. And so when you see things like this, a 24% increase, that's going, you know, higher than the cost of living. Certainly something's out of whack. If the university, you know, and this is another question, is what is the university teaching students if you can just do this? I think you got to live within your means. And I think that's a solid foundation. It's something I learned when I was in law school at UConn. And, you know, this is what, you know, I believe needs to be reported back.
Kevin, one other thing before we wrap it up here in a couple of minutes. One of the stated goals of whatever special session may happen in a couple of weeks here, the 2080 rule, which has kind of been up in the air. I've done numerous segments on this show about it with folks from the Restaurant Association, reporters covering the Capitol. Any resolution to that, do you think? Has anything been floated there, or are we still going to be butting heads into the new year on this?
Well, I mean, there's not much, you know, even we're hearing a little bit about the hospital deal. You know, there's this constant, you know, shell game with the tolls and insistence on tolls. I mean, here's another one that, you know, this governor, I don't think really has an agenda moving forward. I haven't heard much on this other than what we've already heard. They told us to hold the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th for special session. You know, we're a little more than a week away, and there's really no details other than the hospital deal coming across our desks. And this is, you know, I don't think it's a service to the state of Connecticut. We need leadership that will be strong and move our economy forward. Not that this does, but that's what I think Connecticut's sorely lacking. And economically, you can see it, that we aren't really moving ourselves forward. We're not making the investments in transportation because we don't have a plan from the administration. And so this, like the others, there's really what appears to be a floundering.
And again, you know, that whole, you know, codification of the 2080 rule, Kevin, that I've done segments about here. You folks on the General Assembly, you know, you 180-something whatever of you up there, 151, let's see, plus 36, you 187 folks up there, you passed this thing with like four no votes. It's four or five. It seemed pretty unanimous to me, yet we're still in limbo here.
Right. I mean, and this is, you know, what I was going to say, you're seeing from the governor's office, it's like the issue that we had with the tax on meals in grocery stores. They could take that off the books, and everybody, you know, wants that off the books, but yet they aren't going back to the General Assembly. Same thing here. It's overwhelming support. You would think it'd be a layup, a no-brainer. Let's go fix it. And, you know, no appetite from the governor, yet it's going to have an impact on both business and jobs, good-paying jobs that, you know, people in Connecticut want. I mean, and then you hear all the time, let's, you know, raise the minimum wage. Let's have a living wage. Well, you have one here. But, you know, you're not going to have many jobs if you keep the law the way the governor fashioned it.
All right, Kevin, thanks. We appreciate you taking the time. Have a great weekend. We'll check in with you next week. Thanks, Kevin.
You bet. Take care, Paul.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. State Senator Republican Kevin Kelly of the Metropolis of Stratford. And that's us at 5:32, 28 before 6, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Yes, I have thoughts. Like Mr. Big Voice said, sometimes your thoughts, voices in my head, the doctors promised the medicine would make them go away, but it hasn't stopped yet. All right, 203-333-9422 is your number if you want to call in. On the guest line right now, State Senate Republican Leader Len Fasano of North Haven. Len, how are you?
Good, Paul. How are you doing? How are those voices going?
Well, you know, Len, we're adjusting my meds, Len, so we'll see what happens eventually, you know? I said, Len, the only reason I'm doing this is because growing up in New Haven in an Italian household, how many times did I hear, "Will you shut up, please?" Oh, God. And I just never did. There it is. I was called a Glenn. Glenn, you may have heard this growing up. I was called a real chacharon when I was younger. So we can move ahead.
Which is perfect for what you do.
Bet you didn't think you'd hear that word today, huh?
No, not at all.
Not at all. All right, Len, a couple things. First of all, let's talk about UConn. I know you put out a statement yesterday. Len, listen, I know costs go up and that, but it worries me, Len, that, and again, folks, if you're just joining us, UConn says they're going to raise tuition 24% roughly over 5 years, about 4.5% a year. Len, I get worried that to attend the preeminent state university branch in Connecticut that we're all proud of, I'm worried that, to me, this is becoming a little too far out of reach for people who would want to go there. And then some people say, well, just go to WestCon or Southern or Eastern. No offense to those schools, or go to a community college. But I don't know, Len, when's it stop?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I will say that this is like the third or fourth time that I've raised the concerns that the rates keep going up. Tuition keeps going up and up and up. And kids are saying, listen, I could go to college outside of the state of Connecticut, pay less amount of money, and get a good education. And that isn't why we created UConn. It's created as a school for the people of Connecticut. And we're pricing people out of Connecticut, out of UConn. And that's a problem.
Yeah, and Len, I'm wondering, and I asked this of Kevin Kelly, who I had on earlier today. The oversight you guys and gals have up there is more required, is more needed. When you ask UConn about its finances, do you get the answers that you really want, or is a lot of what UConn does under wraps? Tell me about that.
It's definitely under wraps. You know, they get a block grant. We give them a bunch of money, and they get to spend it as they see fit. And when you start asking questions, they get agitated. They don't want to hear about this, that, or the other thing, and they don't want you to put your nose into their business. And, you know, when you talk about free tuition, and then you say, is that the reason why you're raising rates? The answer is, no, the free tuition is not going to raise rates at UConn. How does that possibly happen? So, you know, we have very significant concerns over the cost of education and how they're spending the money.
So is there any way to get it? Is the fear, Len, that they think you're going to tell them what to do with the money, or is it just kind of this we know better than you scenario?
I think it's, look, we can take care of ourselves. Just give us the money. We know how to invest it. We know how to move education forward. There's nothing to see here. Just move on. But the real problem is it is the benefit package that has increased year over year. And when Governor Malloy was doing the pension and salary for state employees, I didn't hear UConn ever say, hey, if you pass this, we're going to have to raise tuition significantly at UConn. And then they turn around and blame the package deal. So I think there are significant issues here. I think UConn stays quiet politically and doesn't speak about the issues that are causing the tuition to go up year after year.
Len, hang on. We'll be right back to you. I want to ask you about what might be a special session holds and the whole 2080 thing, if we're going to see any sort of a resolution on that. And we have a couple more minutes here with Len Fasano, State Senate Minority Leader, North Haven, Republican. Len, is there actually going to be, do you know at this point, any legislative action week after next here? The governor, I know, has told you guys to hold the dates open. I know there's some controversy now on the toll thing vis-a-vis what that court decision said in Rhode Island. There may be something going here on the hospital tax thing. How do you see it playing out in your mind?
I don't see a transportation vote coming up before the first of the year. And I say that because to draft a bill at this point would be extraordinarily difficult and have it ready for a vote. I believe that a bonding package would only take place to give money to the towns and cities so that they could do their snow removal and things of that nature. But I'm not sure you would see a full bonding package. As far as the hospital, the deal is out there. It has been filed in terms of a bill. I've heard a little kickback from my friends on the other side of the aisle.
Yeah.
And whether or not Governor Lamont could smooth out those wrinkles, we'll have to wait till midweek next week. Perhaps, I know next Friday there's a public hearing on the hospitals, and we'll hear more about any particular objections.
And Len, the 2080 thing, I know, Len, which has a lot of business owners, a lot of bar owners, a lot of restaurant owners, kind of with a good, you know, good case of agita here. What might we see on that?
Look, that bill is ready. All the leaders on the majority and minority side have signed off on it. There was a little bit of an issue with the Senate Democrats. I understand they're fine with it. So that could actually run it any day. But we'll have to wait to see if they actually do it. So I know this is like a non-answer to a good question. But I would say to sum up, we're not going to see the hospital deal. I'm sorry, we are going to see the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to see the transportation. We may see some bonding, but I think that's a 50-50 shot. And we'll only see the restaurant deal if we go in for something else.
And on that restaurant deal, Len, finally, you say that the leaders are okay with it. Could there still be some blowback, you know, from some of the lawyers involved in these class action suits and some of the unions involved here? Do you anticipate that, or is the Democrat leadership just going to say, listen, this is good, trust us on this? What do you think?
I think if we go in for the hospital deal, you'll definitely see the restaurant deal. The question remains in my mind that would they go in just to do the restaurant deal? And I think the answer is probably no.
Got it. Len, thanks. 543, Len Fasano, as always. We'll keep contact over the next couple of weeks, and we'll go from there. Thanks, Len. Drive safely. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so there you go. So it looks like the hospital tax deal is finally done. Forget tolls, he says, this year. They'll try to get UConn to be more forthcoming with what they're doing with the money. And the whole 2080 thing, that 2080 bill, folks, I tell you, you may think it's just inside baseball minutiae here, but again, how often do you see the General Assembly in this state, right? 151 Republicans and Democrats and 36 people in the Senate, right? 187 people. How often do you see like 178 or 180 of them vote to agree on something? So, but that's a key bill, we've been telling you. It codifies a rule that says if you are a waiter or a waitress or a bartender, if you are a tipped employee, of course you make lower than the usual minimum wage because you get tips. And a lot of times in the end, you come out better with that, right? But there's some controversy as to whether what these folks are doing, you know, whether it's actually in the purvey of a tipped employee or not. So, as you know, you may have been operating, if you are a waiter or waitress listening to me, or if you are an owner of a restaurant, they're trying to codify once and for all, put into law without any sort of glittering generalities there, the fact that tipped employees in restaurant settings and in bar settings will get the regular minimum wage 20% of the time they work, and the other 80% of the time they work, they will get the lower wage, but during that 80%, they'll be able to get tips, so they actually make out better. But again, this will slow down because there are some class action lawsuits here saying that, well, you know, restaurant owners, bar owners, whatever, are, you know, stealing wages, quote unquote, from people who should be getting a higher wage because they are not doing tipped work during that period of time. So all that coming up straight ahead. We'll keep an eye on that as well. And again, it's not going to be too long before we get another increase in the minimum wage here in Connecticut. Remember October 1, we went from, $10.10 an hour to $11 an hour. And we're going to go up another dollar an hour. If you, you know, have to pay people, folks, you know what's coming. You're going to increase your minimum $1 an hour roughly every 11 months for the next 4 years. So 4 years from now, the minimum in Connecticut will be $15 an hour. We're going to have to sit back and see what effect that has. Maybe none, maybe great, somewhere in the middle on employment levels in the state.